This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alim al hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma wa arina al haqq haqqan wa rzuqna ittiba'ahu wa arina al batila batilan wa rzuqna ijtinabahu wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi 'ibadika as salihin. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Welcome everybody to day 12 of our Fiqh of Salah series. And alhamdulillah, last week we were able to complete intahayna from the jama'ah prayer. Yeah, so we finished jama'ah prayer, okay? Salatul jama'ah, the congregational prayer, and the prayer of the sick person. How does the sick person pray? Al-yawm, inshallah, we're going to go over Salatul Qasr, Wal-Jam' and Al-Khuf, inshallah. Hopefully, we can cover all three of them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We don't have much left from the Fiqh of Salah. We still have the Friday prayer, the Eid prayer, the Eclipse prayer, and the Rain prayer, pretty much. And then we can go into the Kitab Al-Janaiz, into the funeral, the book of funerals and the deceased, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Tayyib, as usual, we start with some review. Al-Usbu' al-Madi, last week we discussed some of the things that are disliked for the imam. Some of the things that are disliked for the imam to do. What are some of the things that we talked about? We talked about, is he allowed, or is it mubah for him to pray on an elevated area for no reason? We said no, that's disliked. It's disliked for him to pray on an elevated area, right? Unless he has a reason. Tamam. What else we said? We said the imam, yeah, to make the salah long for no reason. From the things that are disliked, we said that when he finishes the salah, he faces the qibla the whole time. He should turn and face the people. Also, we said from the disliked things is for him to pray his sunnah is in the same place. Right? Because some others might think he's actually having the jama'ah prayer. Allahu alam. We also talked about what are some of the things that are disliked for the follower, right? For the ma'moom. What are some of the things that are disliked that we talked about last week? What are some of the things that are disliked for him? Remember we talked about the pillars? We said if they're praying, if there's pillars in the masjid, it is disliked for them to pray, okay, in a line that has columns, right? Pillars, right? Unless it's a time of Jum'ah, it's busy, right? But it's better for them to pray in a line that's straight and full, so the line is not cut. So if we had one line with no pillars and one line with pillars, okay, then they would fill up this line and then they would start another line after the pillars. And that's something that you see is practiced in many countries. What else did we say? Can he come to the masjid smelling bad, having bad odor, basal, onion, garlic, right? We said this is disliked, right? A person who has that, he should not come to the masjid and pray jama'ah. Even some of them said that, even jama'ah at home, just pray by himself, because he's going to be hurting the other people who are praying with him. We also talked about some of the valid excuses for abandoning Friday and congregational prayers, right? The Mu'allif, he put this in that section. What are some of the excuses for someone to abandon like Salatul Jum'ah or congregational prayer, Salatul Jama'ah? He's sick. Uh-huh. We'll talk about Safar today, inshallah. Safar, he's not even in the country and he's not in the city. And yeah, he has an excuse. What else? We talked about if he has to go to the bathroom, he's trying to hold it. He doesn't have to hold it. Yani if he needs to go to the bathroom and the jama'ah is starting, should he hold it and pray or should he go use the bathroom? Mashabab. Use the washroom. He should use the washroom and relieve himself and make wudu and go to pray in a calm and in a normal state. Because remember, salah, you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, like you don't want to go and you're holding your number one or number two. Also, we talked about at-ta'am. Yeah, إذا أحضر طعام أمامه, if food is presented in front of him, right, and he's in need of it, then it's okay for him to, eat first, right, whatever he's needed to do. And then we said there were six cases, or five or six cases, if he fears something, right? We talked about if he fears what, that someone close to him is about to pass or die, مثلا, he's on his deathbed. Okay, it's okay for him to stay with him. He fears the ruler is after him, right? He fears that he's gonna his life is in danger. What else? He fears that he might lose his money or wealth. Someone broke into his house. The door lock is broken, for example, or there's a window broken. طب خلاص, go jama'ah and let the guy come back and take everything. Or you just pray at home. I'll just pray at home. ما في مشكلة. تمام. Remember, because here the Hanabila said that Salatul Jama'ah is wajib. The Hanabila, they said that. So that's, these are all going according to that. What else they said? A fear of... we said also the guy who has a debt. Sahih? The guy who has a debt, right? And he's not able to pay it. He's a mu'asir. Someone who is going through a difficult time and he can't pay the debt. And he fears in Jama'ah, you know, the guy who lent him, he's going to bother him and keep harassing him and... It's okay for him. It's not okay for him to avoid it if he's able. Tamam? But he fears يعني, that he might harass him or anything. And he doesn't have the money. Al-Mu'asir. Because Al-Mu'asir, the one who is in a state of difficulty, he's supposed to give him some time, right? Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in وَمَنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. Even when talking about, when Allah was talking about riba, right, those who are going through a difficulty to pay some things off, then it's better for if you can give them some time. فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ. طيب, we started talking about أَهْلُ الْأَعْذَارِ, those people who have excuses. We mentioned three categories. You remember who are the three? لا, specifically, there's three kind of categories that the ulama, they call these are the people of الأعذار. People have excuses. Very general, three categories. We covered one of them last week. The sick person. Yeah, so al-mariid, right? Who else? Al-musafir, right? The traveler, he has an excuse. And the third one, the khaif, the one who's in a state of fear. And that's why we're covering specifically the salah of those people. So we covered salat al-mariid last time. And the last question, how does the mariid pray? طبعاً there's different levels of marad, of sickness, but how does he pray? So let's say the mariid, first of all, the mariid, if he's really sick, does he have to come to the masjid? No. Jum'ah? No, right? Because he was one of the people who's excused. If he fears that he's going to get someone else sick or he's not well, he doesn't have to go to Jum'ah. And he's not blamed for that. طيب, the sick person now, if he can stand, just because he's sick, can he sit down? No, if he can stand, he has to stand. Okay, he has to be standing. طيب, if he can't do ruku' or sujood, then he's allowed to sit, we said. And sitting, it doesn't have to be on the chair. He can sit down with his feet crossed, like that. عادي, okay? He can sit and he can pray like that. وَيُومِئُ, right, and he will move his body. And we said that the ruku' should be higher than the sujood. So if you do ruku' like this, right, the sujood should be a bit lower. That's the condition that the fuqaha mentioned. What about if there's an imam? The imam is sick. He can't stand. What did we say? Follow him as long as he is someone who's going to get cured. But if someone who's paralyzed or something, then they should probably get another imam, right? Because so they can pray the normal prayer. And obviously, we said if he cannot even sit, what does he do? But he can't stand, he can't sit. What's he gonna do? He doesn't pray, right? Huh? He lays on the side. Which side? Al-ayman awwal. He tries to sit on the side, okay? And he salli. If he can't, on the left side. If he can't, either side, on his back. He can't move his hands, he can't do anything. What does he do? He prays with his eyes. But he can't move his eyes. They said, even if he can't move anything, then he will pray with his heart. And as long as the aql is there, as long as the intellect, the guy has sense, he's still there, then the salah is wajibah on him. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب, let's begin inshallah. So we start with salatul faslun fil qasri wal jam'i wa salatul khawf, right? So now we're starting a section in the shortening of the prayer and the combining of the prayer wal jam' wa salatul khawf, and the prayer of khawf, of fear. So the mu'allif, he says wa yusannu qasru ruba'iyya, yeah, wa yusannu qasru ruba'iyya fi safarin tawilin mubahin. طيب, في سفر طويل مباح, نعم, ويقضي صلاة سفر في حضر وعكسه تامة. طيب, let's explain. So he says here, بسم الله. Yeah, so he says here, يسنّ. So here the ruling is what? It's recommended. When he says يسنّ, يعني it is recommended to shorten a prayer, okay, provided the following three conditions. So he mentions في الرباعية. When do we shorten our prayer? Can you shorten Maghrib? No. Can you shorten Fajr? No. So the only ones you can shorten are the Ruba'iyah. Which ones? Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. Right? Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. So it has to be a Ruba'iyah. Ruba'iyah coming from Arba'ah, from four, right? So it has to be a Ruba'iyah, four rak'ah prayer. It has to be a long travel. Yes, Salam. What is travel? This is the big question. And this is a mas'ala that has a lot of khilaf, and I just want to stop on it for a second and discuss, anybody who's read about as-safar, right, you must have heard multiple opinions, in terms of distance, right? And I think this is good to kind of just stop here and kind of understand the dilemma or the situation the ulama had to go through. طبعاً, these rulings, the ulama, they did this to make it easy on the people. صح? So you don't have to individually go look for the hadith and the ayat, traveling, and then sit down and do ijtihad and learn nahu, and it'll take you 20 years. Okay, he'll give you the hukum. Okay, so he's trying to make it easy for you. So now the issue is this, right? The issue in the Quran and the Sunnah, we don't have anything that mentions, okay, al-qasr and travel together. Travel and, safar wal qasr together. Safar meaning travel, wal qasr is shortening, right? Well, there's no hadith or ayah that mentions any of them together. So now the fuqaha are saying, well, okay, we need to find something that mentions safar. What is the definition of safar? Because safar to you means safar to somebody else is different. From the common hadith that they found is the one that says that it's not allowed for a woman to travel without a mahram for more than one day. Another narration, for even Bukhari mentioned this, for those, because the Ahnaf, they said 3 days. They took the narration of 3 days. There's another narration of 2 days, right? So now, first of all, you have an issue of multiple narrations, 1 day, 2 day, 3 days. Tamam. But now what does that mean? If I told you a travel of 1 day, what does that mean to you? We still don't understand what a safar is, right? And so now they started looking, and they said, they looked at some of the narrations of the Tabi'een and the Sahaba, and they said, it's this many barids. Barid. What does barid mean for the Arab here? Barid? Male, right? The guys who are protesting, right? Al barid is male. But actually, what barid means, technically back, and I think this is in the time of the Abbasis, I think, is, and this is where barid comes from, actually, it's very interesting, is barid is a distance, actually. Yeah, aburda. Aburda is a distance, right? Barid is a distance that a horseman can travel until he has to stop, because they kind of invented this, the mail, right? They would have a horseman travel from one place to another. Another horseman would be waiting for him, and then he would go. So the distance that one horseman can travel, this is a barid, right? And so they said, oh, it's the distance of four barids, for example, right? And then the problem is now another generation of ulama. Then they started measuring with farsakh, which is a measurement in that the Persians used. Then they started using the mil that the Romans used, right? 1,000 Roman steps, right? And then the Arab had their own mil, 1,000 Arab steps. And apparently the Arab step is shorter than the Roman. قصة طويلة. And you understand here that there's a lot of error that's going to happen here, right? There's a lot of error that's going to happen. And eventually, I think, even like now, I think, what's the common number you hear? I think 78 kilometers or something like that. 80 kilometers, صح? 80? Anybody want to go higher? A bit higher? طيب. So 80. What happened is later, I think Queen Elizabeth came out with, you know, the mile. What's a mile, right? And something feet. I forgot the actual number. You know, then that's how they came. So that's how we came up with our measurements, right? Eventually, that was the only standardized. Because there was a time where every country had a meal. You know, like those guys had a meal, and these guys had a meal, and the North Americans had a meal, and the South. And so then, yeah, Queen Elizabeth kind of standardized it, right? And that's how we have the measurement nowadays, 80. The person who's explaining this book, Al-Hawashi Sabiqat, Sheikh Ahmed, he actually, the madhab, here it mentions 80 kilometers. He said, actually, after doing all the right calculations and going back to the original number, he came up with 138 kilometers. 138 kilometers. Anyways, my point here is this, okay? It seems like it's very difficult to say that a safar is related to distance. Because you can see that, and we have to understand, like, if you look at the Sharia from a macro point of view, you need to ask the question. طبعاً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني He sent us what we need. Yeah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. تمام. It wouldn't make sense for someone to say, we don't have enough information for Qasr, so we don't know what to do. But from another angle, you can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it like that for a reason. And the reason could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that travel is going to change and things are going to be different. And so the fatawa of distance now is difficult. Because aslan, in some of these distances, like some people will say it's not travel. Some people will say it's travel. I don't know, is there a city that's like bigger than 80 kilometers? I'm not sure. Is there like a such thing? Huh? Like 80 kilometers? 80 kilometers? That's not too long, is it? I don't know. Anyways, المهم. A lot of the kind of from where you live, al bayt, so that's what's considered safar. طبعاً yeah, that's the condition. So we'll talk about the conditions. You have to have left the walls of the city. And that's what I'm asking. Is there a city that's like 80 kilometers stuff?
I think all the way from south to north is 60.
60? Yeah, so some big cities will be يعني. You'll be musafir in the city. يعني even from the mantiq, it doesn't make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense.
Can more.
Is it more than... Yeah, طيب, خلاص. If you ask ChatGPT, he'll give you a few cities.
I heard something about this, is that 80 kilometers from the walls of the city, meaning once you're at the edge of the city, 80 kilometers.
Yeah, but even that, like I just showed you that, يعني, you're saying that we're taking our measurements from Queen Elizabeth, يعني, and we're and there's so much error in knowing what a barid was, and so safar yom, right? And even we said, some said, يعني, the safar has different narrations, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. For aslan, there's a lot of ambiguity, so it doesn't make sense to go with something that, يعني, it's not very accurate, right? It has a lot of error now. I'm going to get to that. So what makes sense, and what a lot of يعني, kind of contemporary ulama mention, is that a safar is whatever is it goes back to the urf of safar. You know, because whatever you see that, because the illa of the qasr is al-mashaqqa. فأنت, if you're traveling and there's mashaqqa, there's difficulty, there's tightness of time, etc., then you have that rukhsa. And it's sunnah for you to do qasr. And طبعاً, يعني, there's nothing wrong with someone to pray the full salah, right? But if someone يعني, is traveling, then he should take the rukhsa, right? The intercession here, the concession, the rukhsa, and do it. تمام? So I just wanted to talk about this. يعني, so if you're you know if you're traveling, if you're packing stuff, Are you traveling? You're traveling. But if you're just going with your jacket and you're just going yani, somewhere, maybe half an hour. Now in Calgary, yani, to go even South Calgary, from north to south, it could take like, 45 minutes, 1 hour. Okay? But you can leave the city from somewhere and in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So is that about distance and time? No, it's about hal that you're in. Are you musafir or not? Yani, are you in a state of travel or not? So because one of the conditions he'll mention is the niyyah. But you have to have the niyyah. So inta now, if you're going to مثلاً, Waterton with your family, كم ساعة? 3 hours and a bit? 3 hours? Yeah? Yeah, so, and you're going to pack stuff, and you're going to put snacks, and madri ايش. So are you a musafir? You're a musafir. خلاص, you're traveling. Tamam? This is what I wanted to mention. So يعني here, the mu'allif, he'll mention like 138 kilometers, right? That's a long, like from here, how far is 130 kilometers? Like, that's a long distance. Huh? Huh? For anything before that, khalas. طيب, المهم. And then, so he says, so three conditions. It has to be a ruba'i. It has to be long travel. Tamam. And it has to be a permissible travel. Safar mubah. What does that mean? Because a safar can be muharram, right? What's an example of a safar muharram? Huh? No, like if I go to Las Vegas, it's haram? If you're going to Las Vegas to gamble and to do other things, yes, it's haram. But if I go on a plane, someone is going to commit a haram. But the ulama, they differentiate between someone who traveled a halal travel, but he committed something haram. But someone, the whole travel, okay, is something haram. يعني he's going to commit a haram, or he's going to, I don't know, kill someone, or he's going to whatever, and it's a haram travel, or like he stole someone's ticket and he's traveling with it, right? It's something impermissible. Then the ulama, they have a qa'idah that the rukhsas don't count for those who are in doing a haram travel, right? So it has to be a mubah travel. Yeah, so he says fi safarin tawilin mubah. Right, and then he says here, وَيَقْضِي صَلَاةَ سَفَرٍ فِي حَضَرٍ وَعَكْسُهُ تَامَّ. So now he's saying, let me explain it. So if I'm traveling, خلاص, now we understood what travel is, okay? If I'm traveling now, he's saying here that, وَيَقْضِي صَلَاةَ سَفَرٍ, okay, فِي حَضَرٍ وَعَكْسُهُ تَامَّ. If you missed the salah while you were traveling, you're traveling right now to let's keep it Waterton. Yalla, we're all going to Waterton. We're going to Waterton, and it was time for Salat al-Duhur. You didn't do Qasr. You could have done Qasr, but you've reached now, and it's Asr time. So you missed what? Duhur. It's a Ruba'iyya, okay? When I pray it there now, okay, do I pray it as a Musafir or as a Hadr? So he's saying here, you pray it full, Hadr. Okay, he says you pray it, حاضر. ويقضي صلاة سفر في حضر وعكسه تامة. Let me just explain. There's two scenarios here. So obviously there's two scenarios. So the first scenario, he says here, قضاء صلاة سفر ذكرها, يعني he remembered it, وهو في حضر. Okay, الحضر meaning what? يعني you are present in your place. Okay, so let's say, you're traveling, okay, and you were traveling and you could have prayed Dhuhr in your Safar, two rak'ahs, but you forgot it, you missed it, you came back to Calgary eventually, okay, and now you're like, oh my God, I missed Dhuhr. So now do I make it up two or four? They say you make it up four, because now you're Hadr. Now you are Hadr. You're back to your, you're not a Musafir anymore. Tamam? The second situation, he says, قَضَاءُ صَلَاتِ حَضَرْ ذَكَرَهَا وَهُوَ فِي سَفَرْ. So you were here, you're now here, you're planning for Waterton, okay? And you wake up and you missed Fajr, okay? And then you're like, okay, I'll pray it. No, not Fajr, because Fajr high. No, you prayed Fajr, alhamdulillah, you prayed Fajr, okay? And packing took longer than you expected. And then basically, you're gonna leave Asr time, okay? So, but because you were packing and you forgot everything, you forgot Dhuhr. Okay, you were busy, the kids are running around, you forgot Dhuhr. So now you missed the Salah in the Hadr. And now you go to Waterton, as you're traveling, you're musafir, you're like, oh my God, we didn't pray Dhuhr. And you're traveling now, do you pray Dhuhr as 2 or as 4? He said, you pray it 4. So for both situations, you pray it 4. Wadih? Some of your heads are like, what? You're spinning. So again, we'll repeat it. Qada'u salati safarin dhakara wa wahadar. So making up a salah of a traveler while he goes back to his original place, he has to pray it as 4. And the opposite, okay? Qada'u salati hadar dhakaraha wa huwa fi safar. Right? You missed the salah while you were present in your place, okay? And now you're traveling, you still make it up as 4. Okay, so in both cases, you make it up as 4. طيب. And that's what it's explaining here, yani. I just wanted to kind of shorten it. The next thing he talks about is, he says, وَمَنْ نَوَى إِقَامَةً مُطْلَقَةً okay, بِمَوْضِعٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ تَمَّ بِمُقِيمٍ أَتَمْ. Okay, so now he's going to tell you the cases where he needs to pray the 4, not the 2. There's no qasr here. So al-itmam is to pray them completely. Wal-qasr is to pray them 2, right? So when does he have to pray them fully? He says, وَمَنْ نَوَى إِقَامَةً مُطْلَقَةً. خلاص, you traveled and now you have made the intention to stay there forever. Like for a long time. Yeah, for a long time. So now you should pray it full. Okay, whoever intends the following must do the complete prayer and not shorten it. Number one, you intend to stay in a place permanently. خلاص, now, so you now during your travel, you can shorten it. Because remember, stay with me here. Al-Qasr we have in the state of travel and when you get to your location. Tamam? They're not the same. The first one, you're in the state of travel. The second part is you are in that place, yani, that you travel to. Okay? You're still a musafir, but you're not in the state of travel. You're not driving in the highway and stopping in stations and stuff like that. Okay? So here he's saying, if someone is traveling and intending to stay there for a long time, khalas, now you're moving to Dubai, okay? Let's not go to Dubai, let's go to Qatar. You're going to Qatar, okay? And you're going to stay there for the next 2-3 years. You got a job, alhamdulillah, okay? While you're traveling, can you do jama'? Can you do qasr, afwan? You can do qasr. Okay, you can do qasr. You can shorten your dhuhr and your asr and your isha. But once you're there, day one, khalas, you landed in Qatar. Can you do jama' qasr? I keep saying jama'. Can you do qasr? Okay, you cannot. Khalas, now you are landed. Now this is your new home. This is your new hadar. This is your new, okay, place that you reside in. Now, about... Yeah, the mudda is coming. The mudda is coming. It's actually the second point right here. No, I understand. I understand the fatwa. I had a teacher in the jami'a in Riyadh, and he was doing jama' and qasr. It was just a strange fatwa. Anyways, we'll talk about that. So that person cannot shorten, right? Once he gets there, khalas, because now it's his new place. So man nawa iqamatan mutlaqatan, okay, bimawdi'in, in a place. Then khalas, he prays, as soon as he lands, now this is your new place, your new, so it's not like you're going to shorten for the first 4 days and then you're going to, no. Then he says, أَوْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامِ. Okay, so whoever نَوَى إِقَامَةً أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامِ, okay, then he has to pray in full. What does that mean? And I'm going to Waterton, and I'm planning to stay there 6 days. They say, khalas, if you're planning to stay 6 days, then you pray full in all those 6 days. Okay, how did they get this? This is derived from some of the travels of the Prophet ﷺ. Now there's ishkal because we have a hadith. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, أَقَمْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَكَّةَ عَشْرًا نَقْصُرُ الصَّلَاةِ. يعني Ibn Abbas saying that we were in Mecca and we did it for 10 days. نقصر الصلاة. Okay. متفقون عليه. This is Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith. Okay. لكن the فقهاء, they went back and they looked at it and they said, no, well, this is Hajj. He went to different areas. And really, it's four. He only stayed for less than 4 days. So they said here, if you're going to travel to Waterton, let's stay in Waterton for 3 days, Are you gonna shorten? Yes, you're gonna shorten for all those 3 days. 4 days, sure. More than 4 days, okay, then you should pray full. Okay, khalas, because now they say, now khalas, you are hadir, you're gonna be there, you're planning to, you don't have a real mashaqqa, okay? Tamam. Yeah, so when you don't know, we're going to talk about this, because we have a narration of Ibn Umar, I think when he was in Azerbaijan, in those areas, he just did qasr, because he didn't know when he was coming back. And sometimes you're in a situation, we're going to talk about like the prisoner. Someone is imprisoned, and he doesn't know when he's going to go. He's imprisoned it happens a lot. يعني, the Muslims who are in prisons abroad, and yeah, he can do qasr. Because he's a musafir, he's a muqim, right? طيب, so he says أكثر من أربعة أيام, okay? تمام. So as soon as he gets there, he prays full, okay? But he can shorten while he's traveling. Again, while you're traveling, everybody can shorten. And then he says أو إتم, okay? بمقيم. So if he's praying behind someone who is praying full salah. And this happens like when you go to the haram, you don't want to do umrah. And Sheikh Sudais is praying for. You're going to pray too? No, you pray for with him. So if you come, someone comes from Edmonton now, and he finds us praying the four, like we're praying duhur. Yeah, he prays duhur with us four. Can he pray the two of asr later? But yeah, sure. But if the imam is praying four, you pray four. If the imam prays four, you pray four. I think we have a hadith of Ibn Abbas. Yeah, he prays four. نعم تفضل. مسافر. لا لا, because here look what he says yeah, so he even here he says, and if he comes يعني late, he still has to make up the four, because the imam is praying four. The imam was made there to, and it's the salah, it's the duhur salah. Naam. Yeah, he shouldn't wait. Naam. Naam. Yeah, because he's saying here, إِذَا أَتَمَّ بِمُقِيمٍ وَلَوْ لَمْ يُدْرِكْ مَعَهُ إِلَّا تَكْبِيرَةَ الْإِحْرَامِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ التَّسْلِيمَ الْأُولَى فَيَلْزَمُهُ أَنْ يَتِمْ. So he still has to continue the prayer. Yeah, وَقَدْ وَرَعَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ أنه إذا تم المسافر بمقيم فإنه يتم. This is a narration from Ibn Abbas. وتلك السنة. And that is the sunnah. Right? Now this is important. He says here, كل صلاة لزمه إتمامها أو إتمامها أو إتمامها here, ولم يفعل فهي باطلة. So if he doesn't, يعني if he's supposed to finish the prayer fully and he doesn't, then his salah does not count, because he didn't finish it. He didn't pray it the way it was supposed to be prayed. So again, when do you have to pray it in full? If you're intending to stay there permanently. Khalas, you're doing a permanent move. You've sold all your stuff. Khalas, you go there. The first day, you're going to pray full. Not on the way there, but once you get there. طيب, you're intending to stay in a place more than 4 days. Okay? You're going on a 10-day vacation. Khalas, pray full. Pray full. There's no mashaqqa for you. You're chilling in the hotel. Khalas, mashallah, you have everything. Tamam? Or if you're going to be praying behind jama'a that are praying full, okay, yani in the place that you're residing. طيب, next he says, okay, وَإِنْ حُبِسَ ظُلْمًا أَوْ لَمْ يَنْوِ إِقَامَةً قَصُرَ أَبَدًا قَصُرَ أَبَدًا. So now he's saying that if he was imprisoned, okay, if he was wrongly imprisoned away from home, or is not intending to stay permanently in a place, okay, he can continue to shorten indefinitely. Okay? You don't know the end date. You're going somewhere and you don't know the end date. Okay? And you know it's going to be long. Okay? Yeah, and you don't know. Actually, you don't know. It could be 5 days, 10 days, 12 days, 13 days. So you can shorten once you find out, inshallah. Once you find out, then you can stop and you can travel back and it should be fine. You have your hand? Yeah.
Does the 4 days include the travel time or no?
You're going to stay there 4 days. Yani in the place. It doesn't include the travel time. No. The travel time, you shorten in all of those. Al-Qasr from all of them. Yeah.
Going back to the last thing, what if the imam is a traveler? Does he shorten it or does he bring it
back? No, just like everybody else. The imam is just like everybody else. Yeah. You're talking about the imam who's traveling. Does he have to? Yeah. So the imam, yeah. If the imam is a traveler, he's got two options. So he can let a local lead the prayer. Okay. He's a traveler, and it's not his masjid. He can let if there's an imam there lead the prayer, or he can lead. Okay. He can lead. He can let them know. He'll let them know. يعني that I'm a musafir. Some people will let know before, and some people will say salam, and they'll say I'm a musafir, and then everybody else will get up and continue their salah, and that's fine. Inshallah. Yeah. Can he pray it for full? He can pray it for, but Allah Alam, that's not the sunnah. Yeah, and if he's a traveler, and he's the imam, yeah. But yeah, he technically has three options, and they're all going to be valid salah. He can either let someone else lead, okay, and he prays full with them, or he can lead full, or he can lead short and lets the people know that I'm praying short. Cool, good question. Yeah. Naam? La, al-imam, because here the imam, he's the imam. He's the boss. Fal-imam, he's there to be followed. Just like the imam who we said he can sit down if we pray like him. We pray sitting down like him. Tamam? Because he's the imam. So if he's going to pray two, you're saying why don't we pray two with him? He's a musafir, he has a rukhsa. But everyone behind him doesn't have a rukhsa. If you're a traveler, if there's four travelers, one of them goes to lead, and there's another 10 locals, okay? And the traveler leads. He's going to pray two, and the other four who are travelers, they're going to pray two with him. Everybody else who's local is going to get up and finish. Wadah? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's just like you're doing qada. Like, just like the one who comes late. The one who comes late, what does he do? He gets up and finishes. Yeah, just like that. Yeah, just like that. And you'll see now, Salat al-Khawf is similar to that. طيب. Cool. Yes, and he says here you can begin to shorten the prayers as soon as you leave the houses of your city, right? And we have narrations from some of the companions and the tabi'een that as soon as you leave the wall of the city, it says like welcome Calgary. You know how it says welcome to Calgary? Khalas, you're good. You're now you're doing safar now. Tamam? Jameel. Yeah, it says your travel is measured from your home to your destination and back. Okay. Naam. Tamam. So the next part he says here, وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ الْجَمْعُ. Now we go to the combining prayer. A lot of times people put them together, قَصْر وَالْجَمْعُ, right? قَصْر has its own rules, جَمْعُ has its own rules. What puts them together is sometimes the safar. Okay? Al-Qasr is for who? I just want to make sure that you leave with this. Al-Qasr is for who? Shortening is for who? For the musafir. Okay. Al-Jama' now can be for several people. So I want you to understand this. When people always say, let's do Qasr, Jama' Qasr. Okay, Qasr Jama'. Okay? Al-Qasr is only for the musafir. Al-Qasr is only for the, yani shortening the four units of prayer is only for the musafir. Now we're going to talk about the Jama', combining. Okay? What is combining? Who's allowed to combine? طيب, Bismillah. He says here, so he says, وَيُبَاحُ وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ الْجَمَعُ. So now he's continuing, وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ, يعني the مُسَافِر. وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ, يعني المُسَافِر. وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ الْجَمَعُ بَيْنَ الظُّهْرَيْنِ وَالْعِشَاءَيْنِ بِوَقْتِ إِحْدَاهُمَا وَلِمَرِيضٍ وَنَحْوِهِ وَيَلْحَقُهُ بِتَرْكِهِ مَشَقَّةٌ وَبَيْنَ الْعِشَاءَيْنِ فَقَطْ لِمَطَرٍ وَنَحْوِ. Naam, we'll talk about it. Okay, so here he says, وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ, and it's permissible for him. Look here, notice the hukum. He's saying, يُبَاحُ لَهُ. Yeah, and it is permissible for him to do that. So, يُبَاحُ الْجَمْعُ لِلْمُسَافِرِ الَّذِي يُبَاحُ لَهُ الْقَصْرِ. Okay, yeah, and it's permissible for him. And And jama', the ulama are more strict with it. They're more strict with jama', and they say that some of them even said it's better for him to pray it full. It's better for him to not combine it, to pray them separately. And that's why you'll see some people, they will pray when they're traveling, they'll pray a shortened prayer separately. So they'll pray, مثلاً, Duhur 2 by itself and Asr 2 by itself. Tamam? Okay? So he says here, نعم. So it's not a sunnah to do al-jama'. He says here. That's why the hukum here in the Hanbali madhab is al-ibaha. وَيُبَاحُ لَهُ الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ الظُّهْرَيْنِ وَالْعِشَاءَيْنِ. So the الظُّهْرَيْنِ, when he says الظُّهْرَيْنِ meaning the two ظُهُرs, it means ظُهْر and عصر. This is how the Arabs speak. ظُهْرَيْنِ يعني ظُهْر عصر. And when he says عِشَاءَيْنِ, it means the Maghrib and Isha, right? So between for the two of them. So now, how does jam' work? So al-jam' you have jam' taqdim and jam' ta'khir. Jam' taqdim and jam' ta'khir. Jam' taqdim is us praying Isha 3 and Isha and Maghrib. Let's just say Isha and Maghrib for now. Isha and Maghrib in the time of Maghrib. Let me say that again so it's in order. We're going to pray Maghrib and Isha in the time of Maghrib. This is taqdeem, qaddamta. Yani you brought it back, okay? So Maghrib is at 4:32, the adhan, okay? So we pray, we are travelers, yes? And so we prayed Maghrib and Isha at 4:35 or something, okay? 4:35 or 4:40, okay? We prayed them together at that time. This is jama' taqdeem. Now there's something called jama' ta'khir, where you pray Maghrib, you delay Maghrib. So Maghrib leaves its time, okay? And you pray it later. For this one, you have to make the intention. Yani you have to make the intention that I'm going to pray jama' ta'khir. Why? Can someone tell us why? Huh? No, well, why? What does that mean? Because someone can say can miss Maghrib and say, oh, khalas, after like it's Isha time, is he supposed to do qada because he forgot? But he'll be like, no, I'll do ta'khir, right? So that's why, no, because that would be like a hila kind of, right? So they say, no, he has to, if he's going to do ta'khir, okay, he has to make the niyyah. Yeah, and it's not like, oh my God, I totally forgot, let me do ta'khir. No, now it's qada. It will count as qada because you missed a prayer, you didn't respect its time. Does that make sense? That's why they say for ta'khir, you have to make the niyyah that I'm going to delay that one. طيب, نعم. So نعم. I think I was in this situation just I prayed outside in the cold. I made it short, right? And I made the qibla. Here's the thing. The general rule is يعني فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. If you're going to Waterton, مثلاً, the driver said 3.5 hours or something. Okay, you should be able to if you're doing jama', right? Even in the nowadays when it's really tight, but the salawat are very close. يعني you have dhuhr until maghrib, you have 12:35 to 4:32, يعني 4 ساعات. So you would make it. You would make it to your hotel, or if you're staying in a hotel, or if you're looking for a place. طبعاً, when you're traveling, there's stations, there's different places. يعني, I don't know, you guys tell me, يعني, is there places to pray, and what would be an ideal place to pray? If you're not praying outside. If you're not praying outside. Because if it's minus 40 and there's a darar, then a person has an excuse. Now, does he have the excuse to delay the salah or to pray it inside? That's the question. And that's the difficult question to answer. Yani does he delay it or does he...
I have been traveling to DC a few times. Mm-hmm. It takes pretty much 6 hours.
Sah, sah.
There is no mosque in DC.
Mm-hmm. So if you are able to find a place, you find a place. If you're not able to find a place and it's really cold for you to pray, then your only option is to pray in the car and you do your best to find the qibla. And you do your best to park in a Park somewhere in the Qibla direction. Because you don't have an excuse to miss the Qibla. The shart of the Qibla, no. The rukun of the standing, if it's really cold and you think there's darar, right? There's danger for you or mashaqqa, then you could pray sitting down. Yani, because that is it's more wajib for you to pray it on time. And it's more wajib for you to pray it on time. So it would be better for you to pray it in that state. Yeah, in the state that you're able to pray it in that time. And it goes back to every person has to do their own ijtihad. Yeah, they try. I tried this, and nothing happened. Tamam. Especially sometimes for the woman. Yani for the woman, for us we can pray. Sometimes it's difficult. There's a public place for the woman. It can be a bit more difficult for the woman. So maybe there's a bit more leniency for them. Let me just try to get through this point. He says, not combining is better. We said that some of the fuqaha, they said that it's better not to do jama. Okay, it's better not to do jama. Okay, and we said both times are equal. Yani the taqdeem and ta'khir, they're both fine. It's up to your preference. Whichever one you find easier. Yani there's no yani one that's more sunnah or more appropriate. It's up to you, and what you're comfortable with. Yeah. طيب. So now he's saying, when is he allowed to do jama? So now he says the one who's traveling. We mentioned him. Someone who is sick and his sickness requires him to combine the prayers. Tamam. Someone who's sick and his sickness requires him to combine the prayers. He is sick, and some people, مثلاً, they can't hold their wudu for a long time. They have a sickness, يعني. سلس البول, سلس الريح, etc. They have a sickness where, مثلاً, they faint or something happens to them and they cannot pray the prayers in their own time. Then they will get a fatwa that, yes, you can join the prayers. واضح? Those are the people who are in a state of sickness, and praying them in their time, it will make it difficult for them, or maybe make the sickness even harder. Okay. Also, he says here, and وبين العشاءين, the Hanabila here they specify some conditions only for the two Ishas, Maghrib and Isha. Okay. So some of the conditions are only for Maghrib and Isha. What are they? They said, وبين العشاءين يعني مغرب العشاء فقط لمطر ونحوه يبل الثوب وتوجد معه مشقة. So they start talking now about matar, rain. Okay, so it is allowed to combine between مغرب and عشاء only for any of the following situations: rain that is heavy that soaks up the clothes, right? So if we had like heavy rain, okay, and it's gonna soak up and it's really hard to drive, etc. Okay, then you would be allowed to do jama. Right, and we've done it here before, right? And you can do qiyas on thalj and al barad and al jalid and here he says liwahlin yani for mud, okay, and intense winds, cold winds, okay. So now you have like mud. So back in the day, if it's really they're walking on sandy areas, or I guess it's just turab, right? And it rains heavily. It's difficult to walk into the mud. So that would be an excuse, okay? And we said heavy rain, hail, heavy snow, like in the few days ago, okay? Jaleed, like it's, for us, like it's very slippery on Deerfoot or something like that, or in the streets, right? It's slippery. Yeah, you don't need to, the Sharia doesn't want you to put yourself in danger. So for that, you can do jama' and qasr. That's why sometimes if we're here for Maghrib, we'll do Maghrib and Isha together, especially in when it's the later times. What else he says? Yeah, mud. And then he says, rihin shadid. Because many people would walk, right? Now for us, is rihin shadid a big deal? Here in Canada, if you're driving, rih shadid is not a big deal. But maybe for the guy who walks, maybe it is a big deal. So he says here, ورِيحٌ شديدٌ بَارِدَةٌ لَا بَارِدَةٍ فَقَطْ. So it has to be shadid and barid, okay? It has to be a hard wind, and it has to be cold. إِلَّا بِلَيْلَةٍ مُظْلِمَةٍ. Unless it's like a strong wind and a dark night. المهم, when you, where do they get these? They get these from the narrations, right? Now, there's a hadith that kind of challenges kind of these restrictions, and that is the hadith of Ibn Abbas. He says, "Jama'a Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi ghayri safarin wala matarin wala marad." Ish yani? Yani the Prophet sallam joined prayers in some situations where it was not travel, wala matar, it was not rain, wala marad. So it was not It was not travel. It was not rain. And it was not what? It was not sickness. Right? So the other things that we mentioned, that's why they say these are reasons. Yani, this hadith shows that these are reasons that you could also shorten prayer. So you can really, it goes back to the urf. Is it something that makes it difficult for us to come to salah? For Salatul Isha, the imam will decide, you know what? It's bad, you know, it's dangerous to travel now. It's starting to pour heavily. Let's pray jama'ah. As long as the imam is okay with it, you know, and the congregation, you know, they ask the imam and the imam says sure, then that should be fine. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay? So those are some of the reasons. And you can do qiyas on that. Now, someone's going to ask about the late nights and stuff like that. This is a question that comes all the time. And this is why it's difficult to give that fatwa. I know some ulama give that fatwa. And whatever I say, it's not my fatwa. I take it from yani, from other ulama or from Amja, from the Council of Scholars of North America. But the difficulty with that is that, you know, it doesn't go into one of these categories. Yani someone is saying, oh, the salah is late, Isha is late. Tamam. The solution is what? Is for someone to do their best to, you know, take a nap in the middle of the day, etc. They might say, well, my kid, type your kid, he's less than bulugh, then he doesn't have to, aslan. And for him, it's not required for him. So for him, even if he prays it before time, it's not going to count as Salat al-Isha for him. Okay? But it's not wajib for him to do it. But anybody like that's baligh, a teenager, should be able to, yani they stay up for movies. But it was yani they stay up for movies, they stay up for parties, they stay up for whatever it is, sleepovers. Those are all excuses that we let go. I think it makes sense to not do the jama'ah. Tamam. طيب. So now he says, the last thing he mentions here, وَكُرِهَ فِعْلُهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَنَحْوِهِ بِلَا عُذْرٍ. This is problematic here. The sheikh who's explaining the matin, right, the text, he's saying that this is problematic because here he's saying kuriha, it's disliked fi'luhu, when in reality it's muharram for him to do that without an excuse. So we said he has to have an excuse to do jama', okay? Either he's a musafir, we said, what else? Musafir, or someone who's sick, or someone who, what? What's the third reason we mentioned? Huh? He's, na'am? Yeah, there's a hardship for him, tamam, like for the isha'ain, right, when it's rain or snow or anything like that. Tamam? طيب. Yes. And then he finishes by saying, وَيَبْطُلُ جَمْعُ تَقْدِيمٍ بِرَاتِبَةٍ بَيْنَهُمَا. And now he's saying that الْجَمْعُ التَّقْدِيمِ, right, when you pray like Dhuhr and Asr or Hai, you shouldn't pray anything between them. If you pray anything between them, then you cannot do jama'. If you pray anything between them, yani you want to do Dhuhr and Asr, then you don't pray Dhuhr, then do Sunnah, like the Rawatib. You should pray Dhuhr and Asr together. That's what Jama' is, that they're prayed right after each other. You finish Salam alaikum, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You do the Iqamah, and then you pray again the second prayer. So you shouldn't pray anything between them. Or you shouldn't leave like a big gap. You know, you pray Dhuhr, you're going to do Jama' of Dhuhr and Asr. You're like, you know what, let's pray Dhuhr, and then we'll go have a coffee, and then come back. No, then it would not count as as jama' and qasr. If you're gonna go for a The last thing he mentions is salat al-khawf. And salat al-khawf, taban, the fear prayer is the prayer that is prayed, taban. The ulama, they say there's two kinds of salat al-khawf, right? The salat al-khawf when you're together as in a battle, yani they're in a battle and the imam is there and the whole army is together. Then there is that Salat al-Khawf that's mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu says, وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِن وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. So now in the battle, right, and there's about six, at least six ways of doing it, and they're all authentic. There's about six ways of doing it, they're all authentic. And some of them when you're facing the army, and some of them when the army is on your back, right? It's opposite the qibla, right? And basically, in a nutshell, what is it? Basically, the imam is praying in the front, and there's, let's say, there's like two lines, okay? There's one line that prays with the imam, one rak'ah, and another line that is watching if someone's going to ambush them. When the first line finishes with the imam, the one rak'ah, they switch with the other ones. The other ones now will pray their rak'ah, okay? The imam will end up praying two, because we're doing qasr. They're traveling, they're fighting, right? So they're going to end up doing two. Both of the lines will complete their salah after. Just like someone who came late. And so that's kind of what Salat al-Khawf is. The other Salat al-Khawf is like if you're traveling and you're in a state of fear. You're in a state of fear. فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so you can do it while you're like traveling. You can actually pray while you're traveling, and even the Qibla here is dropped. يعني مثلا, there's a fire, your city is burning, like happened in Jasper, and you're just driving out, and it's the time of Salah, and you're in your fear. You're not going to stop and pray like it's burning, it's hot. If you pray while you're in the travel, inshallah, we'll pray the Isha, inshallah. You do it while you're going. So he says here, وَتَجُوزُ صَلَاةُ الْخَوْفِ بِأَيِّ صِفَةٍ صَحَّتْ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And we said there's about six. وَصَحَّتْ مِنْ سِتَّةِ الْأَوْجُهِ وَسُنَّ فِيهَا حَمْلُ سِلَاحٍ غَيْرُ مُثْقِلٍ. And it's sunnah for them to have a weapon in their hand that's not too heavy. Yeah, so he's not going to carry some huge weapon that he can't pray with. He'll carry a weapon that it's not too heavy, okay? And that's pretty much Salatul Khawf, and we'll stop there. Alhamdulillah, we were able to finish what we wanted to finish. Next week, inshallah, we'll be covering Salatul Jumu'ah, the Friday prayer, Salatul Jumu'ah, and possibly Salatul Eid as well. Wa jazakum la khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we'll do the adhan and the iqamah, inshallah.